Today we are going to study from the book of Romans, chapter 3.
What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law.
In the chapter 2, Romans, we learn about the judgment, and we learn about the circumcision. We learn that God is not pleased by the handmade circumcision, but the circumcision should be of the heart. Then some people start thinking, what is the benefit the Jewish people has, and what is the benefit non-Jewish people has? So now he said, what advantage then, verse 1, what advantage then shall be the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? The question comes. In somebody says, and Paul says, circumcision is nothing, circumcision should be by heart, then some people sitting there, he said, then why the circumcision is necessary? And why the Jewish people have no blessing or something? Some people sitting there and listening to Paul and thinking why the Paul is saying. But the Paul starts saying, I'm not saying, the word of God is saying, we gave the words from Deuteronomy, we gave the words from Jeremiah, God wants circumcision of heart. The Paul was not saying, Paul was supporting what God is saying. But the people who do not know the Bible, they are trying to blame the man of God. They didn't understand. Let's read the words too.
Much every way, chiefly because that unto them are committed the oracles of God.
Okay, what he is trying to say, mainly he is saying why the Jewish people are so important, because God gave the commandment to those people first. All Gentiles, they didn't have any law. God gave it to children of Israel, the law of how to purify yourself, how to stay out of these filthy things, how to stay out of the blood-eating things, how to stay out of the dead animals, and how to worship the Lord, and what kind of sacrifice you should bring. Don't bring pig and donkeys and things like that. This is God's law given to people. So he said that's why the children of God, the Israeli people, they are precious in his sight. But that doesn't mean that they can disobey God. Okay, verse 3.
For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged.
Right, so what he's trying to say, if somebody doesn't want to believe what God telling them to believe, is it okay because God loves everybody, and if they want to disobey, let them disobey. But God is not like that. Our God is a just God. When he gives some commandment, he's not going to say, okay, if you want to obey, you obey. If you don't want to obey, you don't obey. Still, I love you. That's what I said this morning, if you remember. Our God doesn't love somebody conditionally. That's what some people are saying. Our God loves everybody unconditionally. Unconditionally means there is nothing you have to do. You can do anything and God still loves you. That's not my God. My God keeps condition. If you believe Jesus, I will forgive you. If you come through Jesus, you come to me. That's the condition. If they don't want to go through that way, then God is not going to bless them. So he said, if God starts judging according to his commandment, he will be just God. God doesn't give somebody commandment and let them disobey and still he loves them. Then he is not a God. Okay, verse 5.
But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner?
Right. Now somebody saying, God is love, and God love unrighteous people because the word of God says, we were yet sinner and Jesus died for you. That doesn't mean he is saying you continue keep on sinning. The prostitute came and he said, did anybody condemn you? No. I'm not condemning you because you're already condemned. But let me tell you, go in peace, sin no more. He says if the people do unrighteous things and God still loves them, that means if people can do anything and God cannot judge them. And then he says, then what? If the people start doing sinful activity and God doesn't say anything to them, that means God approves their sin. Is that kind of God we have? No. Let's read verse 8.
And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just.
If God loves the sinner, let's commit sin. Since someday God will have compassion on us. You know the word of God says, where the sin abounds, the grace abounds. So people saying, let's commit sin then. So someday God's eyes will open and will come running to us. That's what people think. But we read in the second chapter, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, please read what God says.
For despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Verse 5.
But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
Right. What God says, God is love, God is patient, God wants you to repent, and you take advantage of God and say, I'm keep on doing what I want to do, and God should automatically bless me. He said, what you're doing, you keeping the wrath for the judgment. The day of judgment will come, and then God will reveal his wrath, and you cannot stand before the judgment of God and say, you were love, you were kind, now why don't you forgive me now? He says, that's too late. Now is the time of grace, right? I mean, the grace door is closed, then the judgment. So he says, we keep on sinning, and with God will forgive us automatically. No. Let's go back to chapter 3, verse 9.
What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin.
Now he says, let me tell you people, I'm not saying Jewish people are better than Gentiles and Gentiles better than Jews. God is not going to compare like that. God is going to see who is listening to me and who is doing according to my will. Not because they are Jewish and I tell them to do circumcision. They are doing circumcision by flesh, but their heart is not with me. So I do not want that kind of circumcision. I want people to love me, follow me. Okay, let's read verse 10.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre with their tongues. They have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Now he said, let me tell you people how God judged the people. There is no person seeking God. There is no person is righteous automatically. Every person is born into this world, they are born in sin. Not a single person can stand before God and say, I'm innocent. I'm a holy man. Because we are all born in sin. We have Adamic nature. You don't have to teach the baby to lie. 3 years old child will lie, cheat, and do everything what you tell him not to do. Even the 2 years. You don't have to tell them to do wrong. They will do it. Why? Because it's in their blood. That's the Adamic nature. So automatically, that means any nation under the heaven, they're practicing their religion and they're thinking they are holy. Everybody thinking their religion is holy. But the word of God said they are all corrupt, all sinful. And their throat is sinful, their heart is sinful, their life is sinful, and there is none righteous. So nobody can stand before God and say, I'm righteous. When God judges, everybody will be sinner. Only person will not be sinner whose sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's what he's trying to say. I want to let you people know, don't brag because I'm a Jewish guy and the commandments are given to me. He says, you know why commandments are given? The commandments were given to shut your mouth. That's what he's trying to say. Because when he says, don't do this and you do that, that means you're guilty. If there was no commandment, nobody can say, I didn't know it. That was a plan of God. So God gave them the commandment, and now when they start breaking the commandment, their mouth is shut. Because they feel guilty. So he says, you know why commandments? If you do 10 commandments, you'll go to heaven. You are not. If you do commandment, 10 commandments, you go to heaven, then Jesus Christ didn't have to come. Right? Those commandments will take them to heaven. But those commandments were given to make you feel guilty. and make you feel that you have broken every law of God. The word of God says if you have 10 commandments, if you break one, you broke all. So that's why he says God has given these commandments, so you should feel guilty before God. Read that verse 19 one more time.
Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
All the world should be guilty before God. So I saw many people, Hindu priests, thinking they say, holy man of God. I sat with them and I told them, you are a sinner. They didn't like it because they are holy men. He said, prove it to me. And I prove it to them, they are sinners. Any man. Why? Because I know they are all sinners. I don't have to have a degree to find out they are sinner or not. And I did not see their life. But I know the truth. I can give them a certain word and find out if they broke that law or not. And say, yes, I broke this. You are a sinner. So all people can stand before God and they will be all guilty. Even though they have law or not. You just ask somebody, do you lie sometimes? Oh yeah, you are a sinner. There is not a single person in the world who say, I never lied in my life. So everybody is guilty in the sight of God. But thank God for Jesus. We will come into that. Okay, read verse 20.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, thou shalt no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
So what he's trying to say, if somebody says, I am going to do the law, and I will be perfect, and I will be not a sinner. Do you know one man came to Jesus and he says, Master, what should I do to go to heaven? He says, do the commandments. Oh, I did that from my childhood. He was kidding. He was lying. Jesus Christ would have said, you did this commandment from your childhood. Why are you lying? But Jesus didn't say that. He said, you want to be perfect? Sell everything and follow me. Then that was hard for him. Why was hard? He says, sell everything and give it to the poor. He did not say, give everything to poor. He says, sell. He says, you are still in business, but you are not giving tithe. You're taking all the business and eating all the money, but I'm giving another law now. You sell what you have, give the tithe and offering, and whatever you have, give it to the poor also. So he thought, oh, that's too hard. So he walked away. God did not tell him, take this money and give it to poor. What he said? Sell everything what you have. He said, you are in business. Do the business, but the right kind of business. And love your neighbor. Don't take their money by business and take their blood in a business. There are some people taking from poor and became rich. That's the kind of man he was. So he said, you don't love anybody? You don't care about anybody? Let me tell you, sell everything and give it to the poor and follow me. And wherever I will be, you will be with me. He didn't understand this master is coming from heaven, and if I sell everything, I will be still going to heaven. What the word of God said, even though if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, what's the profit? If somebody is a millionaire, let me give you an idea, millionaire, and he got a sick, and somebody says, you know, I got a pill. It's $1 million pill. But that pill, if you eat, you will be completely healed. What this person would say? I have $1 million, I'm dying. What is use? Take all the money. Give me that pill. Let me live. Man's value is more than the whole world. People don't understand. This rich man walked away. Why? Because he did not understand the law of God. He said, I'm doing from my childhood. I'm perfect. What the word of God is saying? You cannot be perfect. Read the verse 20 one more time.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Jesus was saying, hey man, you are a sinner. You didn't do any law. Even though you did the law, you did not. Still, the law was making you sinner. You're supposed to say, Jesus, forgive me and take me in your kingdom. Instead of that, said, I did my law. I did everything. Here he says, your law doesn't mean anything. That law gives the knowledge of sin. You are still under sin. 21.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference.
God is so gracious. He doesn't care what kind of law you're doing. God has opened a new law for you, a new way for you. God is going to give his own righteousness. You don't have to do anything. Just believe it. And by faith in Jesus Christ, you will receive it. And there is no difference between Jew or Gentiles. Anybody believes it, you'll get it. How much easier God made it. But still people thinking it's too hard. Christianity is too hard. We cannot live that kind of life. It's too tough. It's so easy. If you live simple Christian life, it's easy. If you follow the truth, you will not have any problem, right? But the people who are crooked and do not want to follow the law, those are the people fighting with God. All different religions are saying, why you want to say Jesus is the only way? Why cannot our God is the way? God made this plan. There is no sacrifice in any other world. They give sacrifice of their dogs and cats and cows and bulls and things like that. They are not greater than man. Man is the greatest man. What kind of sacrifice you give to redeem the mankind? That's why Jesus gave sacrifice. If Jesus gives sacrifice and you believe in that sacrifice, that's it. That's the plan of God. So he says, that's the plan of God, you have to believe. Verse 23.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. So what he said? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means they lost the glory of God. They lost the power of God. They lost the blessings of God. They lost the God's grace. And now they are suffering. But he says, okay, I have a plan. I send my son. And there is a redemption by the blood. And the cleansing by the blood. And you come through Jesus. And when I see you through the blood of Jesus Christ, I see you pure and holy. Simple plan he made. And then he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We don't have to pay anything. Freely we got it. And that is through Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 25.
Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance.
Propitiation is a big word. But he says what propitiation means, you're supposed to die, but he died behalf of you. That means you should be sacrificed your life, but God sacrificed for you. That means he redeemed you. He gave you forgiveness in his blood, and you got the righteousness of God. Okay, verse 26.
To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith.
So what he's trying to say, now God is so gracious. He says, I'm giving you my own righteousness in Jesus Christ. Freely I'm giving, and I am making you like you never commit sin. You are righteous in the sight of God. So he said, if God does like that, then there is no boasting. There's nothing we did to get saved. Nothing we did to earn what we have. We should be always thankful to God. People forget. You know, some people, they are poor. They come from poverty. And they start giving tithes and offering. And God gave them blessing and they became millionaires. They forget then who I was before. So when God bought you out of the trash and gutter and out of the lowly strait and now you are somebody, you should be grateful. That's what God is saying. God has done this. Now there is no boasting. But here people, they were nobody. Now today they are minister. They said, I'm somebody now. Listen to me now because now I'm a minister. We are nothing in the sight of God. We have to listen to God is everything what we got it by faith, and we cannot boast. If you read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9.
For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
So there is no boasting in the ministry. If somebody was nobody and God put him somewhere, he should be thankful. There is no boasting. There is not a single man said, because I'm a pastor, because God knew what I'm going to do, that's why he chosen me. No, God said, I choose the foolish one to preach the gospel to the wise. We cannot boast what God has given to us. We should be always thankful for his mercy and his grace. Verse 28.
Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
That a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That means you don't have to do law to get saved. That's why we have to tell the people, you are Jewish or Hindu or Muslim. Whatever you're doing to go to heaven is not enough. Give up everything and come and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my sacrifice, as my Lord. Wash me with your precious blood. Forgive my sin, and it's done. You don't have to do anything. Verse 29.
Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law.
He's trying to say God loves Jewish people, God loves Gentiles, and God loves circumcision people, uncircumcision people, and when they come through faith to God, everything is fine. And then he says, then what we do? Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yeah, we establish the law. Then people say, oh, I don't understand. Now, shall I do the law or shall I don't do the law? So he said, well, let me tell you how it works. People come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, you know, I'm giving a new commandment. So people thought, okay, there are 10 commandments, now he's making it easy. He said, I give you new commandments. Love the Lord from your heart, the same commandment God gave. And then he said, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And these two commandments, all the laws and all the prophets establish. Start thinking, it's a simple law. But he says, listen, this is not a law, this is a love. He says, I give you love commandment. And if you read John 13, verse 1, he says, I loved you, everyone, until the end. And now I'm giving you commandment, love one another. Now, if you love me, will you do harm to me? No. If I love you, will I steal anything from you? No. So if you love somebody, you're not going to steal his money. You're not going to steal his wife. There won't be any rape. There won't be any fighting. The love will take care of everything. So he says, we establish the law by love. That means if I love, I will do everything what God says. So we do not take away the law. We don't say, don't love the Lord. We say, love the Lord. We do not say, don't give tithe. We say, if you love the Lord, give your tithe. So we are not putting you under the law. We are putting you under the love. Why people cannot do the law? Because it's impossible without Jesus. You understand? We cannot do the law without Jesus. I'm giving you an example. I cannot give up the smoking and drinking without Jesus. But Jesus comes in me. He gives me supernatural power to say no. I cannot stop looking at another girl and having a desire, but in Jesus comes in my heart, Jesus says, do you know, that's not a prostitute, that's your sister. She's blood-washed child of God. So I love her, the other girl, like my own sister in the Lord. How it happened? Because of Jesus. The Word of God says, when we have Jesus, then Jesus Christ gives us grace to obey the commandment of God. And then those commandments are not grievous. It's easy to do it. Let's read the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1 and 2. I'm going to finish it.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Now, see what it's saying? We have no condemnation because we are not going after the flesh, we are going after the Spirit. If you are in the Spirit, you are not going to do anything wrong. Okay, verse 2.
For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
See? What happens when you have the Jesus Christ, the Jesus life lives in you, and that life is superior life, that life gives you freedom from the law and sin. That means if you are in Christ, you cannot commit sin. You live a free, holy life without the struggle. But why people are struggling? Because they are not making Jesus Lord of their life. Once Jesus Lord of your life, you know, I'm not craving for drink. I'm not craving for cigarette. I'm not craving for coffee or tea. I'm not craving to do anything wrong. Why? Because I'm satisfied. Jesus is in me. When I got Jesus, I got everything. That's what he says. Now he made us free from the law of sin and death. So we are not under death. We are not under law. We are not under sin. We are under grace, and we are in the Spirit of God. So the Word of God says, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. I said I'm going to finish, but I'm going to give one more verse.
Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
So we are free people to live freely for God, not free to commit sin. Free in spirit to obey God. Okay. Shall we rise?